Some might be asking, what do you mean by constitute? And constitute simply means to form. And so we have already participated as a church for some months, but today we form officially and formally, which begs the question, what are we forming around? We are forming around the person of Jesus Christ, the one who has won us to himself by his death on the cross 2,000 years ago, bringing peace with God where there was wrath for sin. That's our unity, is in the person of Christ. Consequently, though, by that unity, we are one with one another as well. And that is a real joy. I've had several weeks to think about what should be part of this service, and particularly this week, praying a lot, thinking about what should happen today. And so met with Mike and with John and put together something of an order of service for today, and then messaged Mike, I think was it Friday, to say preaching Psalm 103. Because I do think Psalm 103 is the heart of our delight in God. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 103. I'm going to work through it very briefly and very quickly in order that I may get to the application, because I think it's easy to read and to work through the psalm and to say, thank you, Jesus, and to go. That's not what we're going to do today. I'm going to read, I'm going to explain very briefly, and then I'm going to give legs, for the most part of the sermon, to the application. And so if you have your Bibles, Psalm 103, with Bibles open, let's close our eyes and ask God to bless us. Father, we come to you, even as we've already sung and prayed, because of the death of your Son for our sin. He is our joy and delight because of all that you've done, O Father, O Son, O Holy Spirit. How we love you because you first loved us. We ask you now that you would interpret for us this truth, that which is written now 3,000 years ago might be as relevant today as it was then. Grant these things, O God, by your word and spirit. Amen. You will read Psalm 103 as a Psalm of David, which does fix it at 3,000 years ago. It is an old song. It's meant to be sung. But today we will read it, and maybe in a day not too long from now we will sing it. And I'm quite sure we will sing it in heaven. But Psalm 103 is our songbook and our devotion for today. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. This is the introduction, one verse, of what follows throughout the psalm. It sets for us where we're going. It's kind of the first line of the song. It tells us what we're about to do. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I want to lay before you this morning, quite simply, reasons to praise God. That as we think about forming together and do that formally in a few moments, what is it that we're doing and why are we doing this? The reason why we're doing this is because of God's great love, because he has had mercy upon us. And so this psalm, I think, just stacks up reasons to praise God. It starts with, let everything about me bless you, O God. That is strength and mind and soul and heart. Every part of me, every part of my being does one thing, and that is praise God. How often is that true, though? Because mostly we live in a world over here, and from time to time step out to live over here and realize again and again and again that my purpose on this earth is to praise God. But this psalm puts before us this song meant to be sung often. Lord, every part of this being, every part of this day is all about you. And therefore, here we lay before you the reasons that we are to praise God, every part of us. And so bless the Lord, O my soul. That is, bless Yahweh. Bless the one who is supreme and over everything. He lists then in verse 2 through to verse 5, six reasons to bless God. He's going to do that again. But he starts with, okay, why should we praise God? Perhaps it's helpful to first ask the question and answer, what do we mean by the word bless? Normally we pray, Lord, bless us. But how is it that we are to bless him? Now the Hebrew has in mind the act of kneeling before God. That's what's implied, that my soul will kneel before God, for he is over all. He is worthy of our worship. And so as we look at this psalm, he's stacking up for us reasons why, from heart to external body, we ought to be kneeling, soul, heart, mind, strength, and ought to be kneeling physically as well. Now, I'm sure we won't make it a rule in this church that every time you come in, you at the door kneel, and that as we sit, we at some point during the service kneel. But that in this psalm is a right posture before a holy God. It realizes that he is sovereign and that he is king. Here's the six reasons. Verse 2. Don't forget everything he's done for you. Do you remember the 10 lepers that were healed? Go and show yourself to the priest. One comes back to say thank you. And Jesus asks the pertinent question, weren't there 10 healed? Where are the other 9? Don't be the other 9. Come back often to say thank you, Jesus. And surely we have so much to thank God for. And yet how easily we forget and how easily we don't. And so, friends, today, I hope in a moment, in application, to give you reasons in the context of this church why we are to praise God. Secondly, he forgives all your sins. All your sins. all your sins, all your sins, all your iniquities, he forgives. He heals all your diseases. You are here mostly, I suspect, because you are healthy, with a stack of diseases that lie in the past. Perhaps not everyone is well. And certainly one of these diseases will be your end. But, as 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we are healed. And that is because of his death on the cross, there is a forgiveness of sin that covers every aspect, including a physical one. Fourthly, he paid for your rescue from hell. He paid by his blood for your rescue from hell. Now realize this is written 1,000 years before the cross. Remarkable. It's prophetic. It looks forward to what is yet to happen. But for us today, it looks back on what has happened. Verse 4, he crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. I couldn't find better ways to put it than the writer has done. He crowns you with steadfast love, the never say die love of God for you. That's what makes him up. And he satisfies you with good things. Has God not been good to you? Verse 6 through to verse 14, he just unpacks the character of God. If God has done this, this is why he's done this. He's caring of the oppressed, verse 6. Verse 7, he could hide himself, but he reveals himself. Verse 8, he's merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Verse 9, he's not always angry. Looking forward to the cross. That the wrath of God is completely satisfied by the death of his son. That he's not vindictive. That he doesn't go out to get you because you're the sinner. That he is profoundly loving, verse 11. That he is forgiving and forgetting of our sin. Not just forgiving, but that he casts our sin as far as east is from west. And notice it doesn't say north and south. That would end on the poles. But east and west just keeps going. What a gracious God. Verse 13, that he's compassionate like a father. And verse 14, because he knows what we're made of. Then there is a comparison with man. Okay, let's look at how wonderful you are. That we are transient. We're here today and gone tomorrow. Verse 15. Verse 16, that before long we will be forgotten. Except for some words on a tombstone and a reminder in maybe books. Verse 17, God's love is from everlasting to everlasting. God's love never ends. It's never forgotten. And realize from everlasting to everlasting makes it everlasting, in doubly so. What a great God of love is this. In light of this, who should bless God? Should we? Is it only us? Is it only us that God has been good toward? Well, he starts with the highest heights in verse 20, with the angels. You angels, you who do his bidding, who are always with him, who see the character of God and his actions as they really are, you should bless him. All his hosts. Now, I think he's going beyond angels in verse 21. Angels plus the heavenly beings. And then verse 22, all his creation in every place. Well, that would include us. And scorpions and jongalulus and everything else. That everything that God has made, the purpose of everything is to glorify and bless him. How often we pray, God, would you bless us? And it's right for us to do that. Many psalms. But here is a psalm where we need to stop and ask the question, has God not been good? How good has God been? And for us to stop for a moment and say, oh God, you have blessed us. We respond with blessing and praise to you because of what you've done and who you are. We join with all creation in that process. Because God is a God who is worthy, and God has been good.